Let's just have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so very much, Father, for your precious word. We know, Father God, that your word is food for our souls, and we thank you. Praying even now, Lord, for this dedicated and this diligent man of God. Praying even now, Father, that you might give him a fresh anointing, Father God, from his head down to the soles of his feet, Father. And also praying even now, Father God, that when he opens his mouth, Lord, that what he speaks will be what thus saith the Lord. We thank you so much, Father God, for how he has dedicated his life to you, Father God. And Father God, how he gives himself to study and prayer, Lord. And we pray even now, Father God, for your blessings, even in Jesus' name. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you. Okay. I can hear me. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good, good. Okay. All right. Let's see. Why is this? There we go. Well, that was just a tremendous time of worship this morning. I want to thank Anthony and the team and Mike for the encouragement. You know, right in the middle of that worship time, I just have to say, I felt the Lord speak to me very clearly and say, I am so pleased. I am so pleased. You know, God is pleased and he enjoys our worship. And I just heard that so clearly this morning as we engaged him in praise. So another thing I want to say, when Mike mentioned our school, you know, we have a little school that started here last year, the Learning Center, Cornerstone Learning Center. And I don't know if you know this, but we're up to 17 students.
Yeah.
That's... Okay. I guess somebody... Okay. Thanks, Jay. So I know we started with 4 or 5 and up to 17. They have more interviews this summer. So our school is growing, which is tremendous, you know, and it's a school that teaches the Bible at the same time with teaching kids some early life skills. So I'm very happy with our school. So, okay, well, I want to say happy 4th of July weekend to all of you. I love the 4th of July. It is one of my favorite holidays of the year. Does anybody else feel that way about 4th of July? A couple people. It's not my not much favorite, but it's definitely one of my favorite holidays, the 4th of July. And one reason why I enjoy the holiday so much is that we have a family tradition. Every year on the 4th of July, tomorrow, my family goes down to the town of Media. And Media is a great little town. Have you ever been down there? State Street, the restaurants, the trolley car. It's called Everybody, I think they have a sign that says Everybody's Hometown. It is a wonderful town. But on the 4th of July, tomorrow at 10 o'clock down at Barrel Field, which is right next to Media Elementary School, Media has a family fun day. And I think we have actually gone there probably over 40 years on the 4th of July. I took my kids when they were little. And they have a water slide, and they have races, and there's face painting. And they have this guy that comes and sings, and his name's Silly Joe. And he really is a talented musician. So we just have a joyful time tomorrow down there at Barrel Field for a couple hours. I eat a hot dog. It's the one hot dog I eat all year. And that's my nitrate consumption for the year. And... But it's a good time. So if you're free tomorrow and you can gather up some kids and you're not involved with the Broomall Parade, you might want to come over to Barrel Field and Media and enjoy the fun that we're going to have over there. So, okay. I don't know. Should I? I'll just keep going and watch you wince. I'd like to try it if we can. Maybe I'll be a little more gentle with my voice. So all that to say that I want to talk to you today about joy, about joy, and leading a life of joy. That's my subject this morning. So if you know that Christians are supposed to be always joyful. I better say that again. Christians are supposed to be always joyful. Joyful, because you might not have heard me right, all right? But that's what we're told in the Word. We are to be filled with joy, not only when we're out there having a nice time on the 4th of July, but all the time, no matter what the circumstance is, we are to be joyful people. I guess the question that I want to put to you today is, am I leading a life of joy? Am I leading a life of joy? If you would open your Bibles, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. And I know there's some pew Bibles around if you need one, but 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, a very familiar verse. And it says, 16 through 18, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Love that verse. Love that verse. There's a similar verse in Philippians 4:4. You don't have to turn there, but Philippians 4:4, probably a lot of us know that verse already. What is Philippians 4:4? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Right. So we are called to a life of joy. Now, I have a confession to make. Yeah, I need to be honest. All right. I am challenged by these verses. I am challenged by these verses. There are times when I just don't feel joyful. And there are times when I just don't feel like rejoicing. All right? And I suspect that there are probably one or two people here today who are just maybe a little bit like me that are challenged by these verses too. Well, some not for sure. But if that's you, if you're one of the few in that category, I would ask that you pay attention today to what I'm going to say, because the Lord may be teaching you some of the same things that he's teaching me. Okay. You see, Jesus came to minister his peace and his joy and his rest and his gladness to us. He really came to do that. Numerous times he tells us in the scriptures, I came that your joy might be complete, that you might be filled with joy. So God doesn't really like it. He is not pleased when we are drawn away from our joy, when our joy is snipped away for any reason, right? From any source, from any difficulty. Because when Jesus came into this world to die for me, he came to take away my diseases, my infirmities, my distresses, and anything that would snip at my joy. Right? You know, that's what his word tells me. His word says that. And I have that word up here in my head. I have a lot of that word up here in my head. But sometimes I have a little bit of trouble getting that word down into my heart, where it really needs to be, where I can just live the way he wants me to live, live to please him, live to be always joyful. You know, there are times when difficulties come along, and I say, where is my peace? Where is my joy? Where did it go? And there are times when I need to learn to permit the Holy Spirit to minister his peace and his joy to me in circumstances that are difficult. And he will do that. He will do that. You know? Jesus, there's a scripture I was reminded of. Jesus says, I did not come to be served, but to serve. And today, Jesus still very much wants to serve us, to minister to us his peace and his joy and his rest and his comfort, especially in times when we really need it, when we need it. Now, I'm learning, I just can't put my head down. I'm learning that we need to do things to help us to have that kind of joy all the time. But there are ways that I can cooperate with God's grace to preserve my joy when I find that it's just being filtered away. What is joy? What is joy? There's a joy that God talks about, and there's a joy that we talk about. And we may not have the same understanding of joy that God has. So if you're looking for a joy that's other than the joy that Jesus talks about, then you might be looking in the wrong place, and that's not a good place to start. So I have a definition of joy. I believe it's what God means by joy. And I happen to think it's a pretty good definition. It's a good description of the joy that God wants us to have. So can we put that up on the screen? Joy is, there it is. Listen to this. Joy is an inner peace and delight in God the Father, in the Son, and in the Holy Spirit, and in the blessings that flow from our relationship with them. Right? Joy is an inner peace and delight in God the Father, in the Son, in the Holy Spirit, and in the blessings that flow from our relationship with them. Now, I want to suggest that we all take this definition and write it down and really think about it and go pray about it, because it is what God means by joy, first and foremost. Now, you can see first and foremost that God is telling us about finding joy, our joy, in our relationship with Him. You know, when we learn to delight in God the Father as our best Father, as our Heavenly Father, as the provider of what we need, you know, there is joy. When we learn to delight in Jesus as our Savior, as our Lord, the one who went to the cross for us, who died for us because He loved us so much, when we come into that close personal relationship with Him, that deepening personal relationship with Him, there is joy. Okay? When we relish and long for the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, when we long to hear the Holy Spirit speak in our ear and talk to us and give us direction, and we love that direction, there is joy. Okay? So we can experience this joy that Jesus came to give us. And also what follows from that are, of course, you know, many, many, many blessings. See, all this may be different from your definition of joy. If your definition of joy is circumstance-based, you're going to be looking for joy, a joy that's going to continually go up and down. But if you're looking for your joy in Christ, right, and you find it there, well, you'll have real joy. So I suggest that we take this definition and pray about it and think about it. You know, first and foremost, find our joy in Him. Seek Him, and you will find that joy. And if all this sounds a little bit ethereal to you, it's not at all. It is not at all. We're born again. We're born again spiritual creatures. Okay? And this joy in knowing God is very real, and it's there for us. We just have to pursue it. So let's consider some of the challenges that come to our joy and how to deal with them. Now, if you have this foundation, if you know what true joy is, well, then you're well on your way, because when difficulties come along, difficult circumstances, you'll know that your basis is your joy in the Lord. And with we have that joy, well, it's the greatest joy we can have, and everything else just kind of falls into place. So we have to be on our toes. We have to be alert, because things will come at us. We all know that. And any time something comes in, you're just going through life, and it's a smooth sea, and all of a sudden the waves pick up, and something comes in. And if what comes in is other than God's perfect peace or God's perfect joy, it is not of God. It is not of God. Okay? It's something we're responding to in the wrong way, or something we're just not picking up on as we should. So we need to be alert, be on our toes for when these things come in. We need to recognize distressful feelings that come to us so we can deal with them. So to deal with these challenges, I have four suggestions. And we can deal with them by faith, by prayer, by thanksgiving, and by fighting back with joy. By fighting back with joy. So first, by faith. I was in Marcus Skorenson spoke last week, and I thought it was interesting. He talked about faith right away. It was the first thing he talked about. So, you know, we need to exercise faith to maintain our joy when difficulties come at us. Faith in God is a powerful, powerful weapon, right? And I often find it kind of amusing, but also kind of sad, that we're saved through faith. We're saved through faith, you know, by grace through faith. We believe. We believe what the Bible says, that Christ came to take away my sins, and it's by that grace and that faith that we're saved. But then as life goes on and difficulties come on, we often try to deal with those difficulties on our own. But it's that same saving faith that saved us we need to persevere in and call up and ask God for to overcome difficulties. Faith helps us to overcome difficulties, right? When troubles come, you know, we will say, please deliver me, God. Please deliver me, Lord, from this burden. And then we wait and we wait. And we say, well, I'm waiting, Lord. I'm waiting. And God says, well, I'm waiting too. I'm waiting for you to start exercising some faith. All right? So, you know, past tense. We're to walk by faith, not by sight. You know, when do most of us want to be free from our burdens? Yesterday. But God says, no. You know, he very often is teaching us something through the difficulties of life. He wants us to learn. He wants our character to grow so we'll be more of his man and his woman. Faith, as we know, Hebrews tells us that faith is being sure of what we hope for. It is being certain of what we do not see. Joy is maintained through faith. Right? I don't see any difference here, Lord, but I know that you provided an answer. In fact, I believe you have already given me that answer. So I'm just going to go on believing. I'm just going to walk on in joy while I wait to see the materialization of your answer. The Bible is just filled with faith stories, people who responded in faith and pleased God. You know, I thought of David defeated Goliath by faith. You know, David, he didn't see Goliath on the ground with his head chopped off. He saw this huge giant waving a sword, boasting and bragging, you know. That's what he looked at, you know. He was looking at somebody that could have dispatched him in a second. But it was by faith, that David defeated Goliath. You know, Noah built an ark by faith. You know, he didn't, before a drop of rain fell, Noah was out there working on that ark. Took him a long time, I'm sure. Wonder what the neighbors thought of him. What a nut, you know. But he just knew he heard from God, and he kept building that ark by faith. A centurion believed that his son was healed even before he went home and saw him healed. See, it's by faith. It's by faith. We maintain our joy by faith. Okay. Secondly, when challenges come to our peace and our joy, we can fight back with prayer. We can fight back with prayer. And I just don't mean little dinky prayers. You know, dinky prayers produce dinky results. You know, drive-through prayers, like you're at the drive-through, going through, give me a quart of milk. Okay, thank you, bye. You know, there are times when we need to just get alone with the Lord and not do dinky praying. Amen. And come before him and get before him and get on our knees and get our face to the ground and say, Lord, I need you. Amen. Lord, I am seeking you. Lord, I am after you. You know? Remember, just being in his presence alone is fullness of joy. Yes. Another thing we can do, I guess that's a scripture I had here, Psalm 16:11. You fill me with joy in your presence. You fill me with joy in your presence. So there are many reasons why we should pray in times of difficulties to restore our joy. And there's an old song I really like. It's called Jesus is the Answer for the World Today. And when we seek God in prayer, you know, Jesus is the answer. He has the answer. Jesus is the answer for the world today. There is no one higher. Amen. Jesus is the way, right? Beautiful, beautiful song. I hope to play that later on today for you when we take communion. So that song goes on. If you have some questions in the corner of your mind, traces of discouragement and peace you cannot find, reflections of your past seem to face you every day, but there is one thing I want you to know. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. Our worship was so beautiful this morning because it was so centered just on Jesus. The Lord, God the Father, loves it so much when we live our lives just centered on Jesus. You know, there's times, I heard a great expression I like. It says, there's times that we just don't need another manual. We need Emmanuel, right? We need Christ himself and him alone, right? Prayer connects us with Jesus, the source of our peace, the source of our joy. Secondly, we can even pray directly for the Lord to return our joy to us. And here's a great scripture, Psalm 86, verse 4. Listen to how the psalmist prays. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Right? It's short, it's simple, it's life-giving. Ask that God would gladden you to the core of your being when your joy is slipping away. We can come to him and directly pray that he will gladden our souls, that he will gladden our souls. You know, we all want joy in life, and we can lift up our soul and ask the Lord to do that as the psalmist did here. God, I lift up to you my tired and weary soul. I turn to you because I believe that you can restore my joy. I want you alone. Fill my whole being, Lord, with your joy. In you alone will I find the true gladness and the true joy that my soul so desires. Pray that your joy will be maintained. Isn't it funny how sometimes we go all around the rabbit trails? I'm not feeling joyful. I'm going to go ask God to restore my joy. Why not? Gladden the soul of your servant. A third thing we can do, of course, to maintain joy is to be thankful. We read that in our verse today. Give thanks in all circumstances. All circumstances, not some circumstances. Right? It's easy to be thankful when everything's going well, but when you know things are hard, it's a little more challenging to be thankful. But we are encouraged to be thankful in all circumstances, even when life is hard. You know, when situations come along that, you know, we have a choice. We can complain, and we can worry, and we can get upset, or we can say, wait a minute, I'm going to thank God. I'm going to thank God. Right? Yeah. I'm going to thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that buzz. At least it's keeping somebody in the back awake. Okay. Okay. Often when people come to me and ask for prayer, I'll start to pray for them and they'll look at me a little cross-eyed. Because I often begin by praying, Lord, I thank you for this situation exactly as it is. Exactly as it is, all right? You know, I pray that way because the Lord tells me to pray that way. He says, you know, be thankful in all circumstances. You know, do you believe God can work out everything for your good, no matter what it is? I believe that he can work out any situation for the good, yeah. Then if that's true, we should believe that and thank him in all circumstances. You know, when we can truly thank God for what he has permitted to come into our lives. I'm not saying God causes everything. What he has allowed to come into our lives. When we can thank him in that way, there's peace and rest that come back to us because we're acknowledging that he is ultimately sovereign over everything, and which he certainly is. Now, does that mean that we can't ask God to change a bad circumstance or a bad situation? Of course not. Of course not. We can ask him to change things, and we should. We should pray for healing and deliverances. But we start with thanksgiving, acknowledging that he is sovereign and that his work will be done in his way and in his time and for our good. Okay. Key example, you know, you think of scriptures of Paul and Silas in prison. And there they were chained in the stocks. And what were they doing? They are giving thanks and praising God. It's very interesting that before that scripture, that passage, the verse right before that says, after they were severely beaten, after they had been severely flogged, right? So they were in physical pain. Can you imagine beaten by a whip or a stick or something like that and then being chained up? But they praised the Lord and they thanked him in that very trying situation. Of course, the Lord came in a powerful way. So the last one I want to mention today might be a novel one for you, and it's kind of a new one for me. It's called Fighting Back with Joy. We can restore our joy by learning how to fight back with joy, by creating joy in hard times. We can actually create joy in the middle of difficulties. And I say, it might sound a little bit strange to you, but God can help you to get there. There's a remarkable book written by a even more remarkable person. I just wanted to share a little bit with you. And the lady's name is Margaret Feinberg. And she is a believer. And her book is called Fight Back with Joy. Fight Back with Joy. Linda and I came upon this recently. We saw her on TV. And we were so impressed with her testimony that we went out and bought the book. Highly recommend it to you. Okay. Margaret learned that she had cancer. A very severe form of cancer. And what she went through physically was just, you read the pages and it's overwhelming what she went through. But she decided that she would fight back with every weapon that God gave her. And to her surprise, one of the greatest weapons that God gave her was the weapon of joy. She learned that she could, have a party in the midst of her pain. That in times of trial, she could, rely on God's joy and create joy herself. And what she did was she decided that she saw that if she could make other people happy and other people joyful, that it greatly increased the joy of the Lord in her own life. So she would plan out things before she went to her chemo sessions. And she would make special food she found out that people liked and take it in so they could take it home. And she would tell jokes and stories. And one time she even got the people in the chemo group she was in to get in the Congo line and to dance through the hospital. Okay? All the patients. So she learned that joy is a powerful, powerful weapon, but you have to be purposeful about it. You have to think about it and ask the Lord what he would have you do. But a great book that I highly recommend to you, Fight Back with Joy. So there are just some of the things I wanted to say today, and I guess a few points to take away, things to remember. God truly wants us to be joyful at all times, right? And that our joy is first and foremost centered in our relationship with him, right? That means time alone with him. You know me, I like to talk about people not just praying on Sunday or worshiping on Sunday, but there's times during the week, set it in your schedule. This is my time to go be alone with Jesus. This is my time to go just worship him and praise him. It'll make your life in Christ go from here to bigger than you can imagine when your personal devotional life grows and grows and grows. And I know that's a struggle. It's been a struggle for me for years, but I thank God that by his grace I'm getting better at desiring and wanting to have time alone with Jesus, reading his word or whatever. So, because he is the center of our joy. Yeah. Pursue your relationship with him. Be alert for things that come in that challenge your joy. And when they do, exercise faith, pray, thank God, and learn to fight back with joy. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Good. Well, you know what? We're going to enjoy the Lord's communion table now. And I have that song. I hope it'll play for us because I just want to use it as kind of background. Ushers, come on up, please. And if we can get the song rolling, that would be great. And you might just want to look at the words, sing along or hum if you like. And it is a beautiful, beautiful song. Bring up the volume a little, yeah. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer. for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. And there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Do you enjoy that song? Yeah, one of my all-time favorites. Okay, I need to thank Nick Abel for pulling it together. It's not easy to get these songs up sometime, but thank you, Nick. I really appreciate that we could use that today. That song has blessed me over many years. So, yeah. Well, let's hold up the bread. Yeah. Lord, we thank you for your precious body. We thank you, Lord God, that we are a people who see that you are the answer, that you are our joy, that you are our hope, that you are our everything. Lord, we rejoice in the fact today that you sacrificed yourself. You came and took the nails and went on the cross for our sins, that we might be made holy and pure and joyful in your eyes. Thank you, Lord, that you see us as your joy. Let's take the bread together. Father, we take the cup of your blood. Lord, thank you that we are sanctified by your work on the cross. That anyone who has come to you in faith, who has had their sins washed clean, who has experienced your grace and put their faith in you, that we can stand in your presence, we can enjoy your presence because of what you've done. Yeah. Let's take the cup together. Amen? Amen. Good. Well, we're going to wrap up our service, and I know the cafe will be open. Don't eat too much in the cafe today. You want to save some room for some hot dogs and hamburgers tomorrow. And have a great 4th of July. Enjoy God's presence. Who knows? Maybe you'll be able to share the joy of the Lord with someone tomorrow who needs to hear it. If anybody needs prayer today, if you need some prayer or want some prayer, then come on up. Maybe put some music on back there, Mike, whatever you have, just